I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the fields like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills. Till I'm eating so much I got a breakfast deal. I put moms on vacay with Bob Marley steak. Racing all the homies in that Audi R8 place. Got an out of state name. Going hard to my tours is foreign.
My dude here, All Bro Poe, and you are listening to the Buffalo Rumblers Vidcast feed, man. What it do, baby?
Yo, yo, how you doing?
Hey, man. Hey, I ain't gonna cap. I got the flu. Your boy got the flu. I sound like a 70-year-old smoker, bro. I ain't gonna cap. It sounds horrible. But you know what? I had to come on here tonight because we got to talk about Sunday. Well, Russ is gonna join us a little bit later in the show. So it's gonna be a good show tonight.
Oh, it's going to be an A1 show. I'm excited. I can't wait to speak with Russ. I know he was talking a lot before that game, so I'm excited to get into these Cowboys. I'm also excited to get into, like, the playoffs and what we got to do, what other teams are looking like, and the final stretch here. So
I'm excited. Yeah, no, we should talk about that because I think those are very valid, important points currently. So if let's just play a little where we stand right now, according to the New York Times playoff simulator. Now, you know, any show you're listening to, even the mainstream media guys they reference this website and this playoff simulator machine. Now, it's not always 100% accurate, but it definitely gives you, it plays out so many different scenarios. Right. And so this is probably about as good as you're going to get. But right now, it has the Buffalo Bills. If we win the Chargers game, you know, let's just start right now. Right now, we have a 70% chance to make the playoffs. 70%.
It's much better than the 14 it was at a week ago.
Right. It was like 14%, 15%. And so now we have 70%. And if the Bills were to somehow win, when I say somehow, I mean, they're going to beat the Chargers, right? Eastern State, come on, man. Like, quit playing with me. That jumps up. Now, this is without any other games being played, but that jumps up to about 77% with the win against the Chargers on Saturday night. So there's a lot that needs to take place, a lot that needs to happen. Some of the key matchups that we can look forward to this weekend. You got the Bengals at Steelers on Saturday. That'll be a really good game. In terms of like whoever you're rooting for, you probably need to root for the Steelers. But Jake Brown has been playing pretty well, man. I can't hold nothing against him. Dude's been balling.
Yeah.
You got the Colts at the Falcons, and Desmond Ridder got benched again? You hear about this?
Yeah, it's a revolving door of quarterbacks over there. I'm not too sure about the Falcons. I've actually had a conversation with some Falcons fans recently, and they're just not really happy with the direction of the coaching staff and how that's been going on. So I think they need a new quarterback in there at some point, probably coming up. I'm not sure about I don't think they have the wherewithal to beat the Colts here coming up.
Hey, man, you know, one thing we've learned with this season, man, is like you just never know. You never know what's going to happen on any given Saturday or Sunday because this season has been wildly unpredictable. So many injuries and so forth. So other games to look at. Let's see.
If I'm not mistaken, they're starting Mason Rudolph too, moving forward.
Okay. Which is okay.
I'm not sure how that's going to go. We know what Mason Rudolph has, but the Drew Lock. I guess you just never know what that person's going to come out with if they have one game to turn up, and, you know, we'll see.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. Good point there. We have you got the Browns at the Texans. That's another good game because the Texans are currently in that wild card position. They won their game last week, and you didn't expect to see that, but look, they're right there, you know. Yeah. You got the Browns. So the Browns aren't going to win. the AFC North. Obviously, we know that's going to belong to the Ravens. So the Browns in the Texas game, that's going to be probably the one that you're going to want to watch.
It's nice because the Browns do play a lot of teams that we need to lose going forward. Uh-huh. And the Browns are going to be playing hard no matter what because they're not going to have that division locked up and they need the wild card spot. So we're big Browns fans, I feel, going forward.
Yep. We're also going to be big Cowboys fans this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Them boys.
Them boys going to have to get it done, bro. At the Dolphins, man. You know, this is one of them games you hope, like, okay, like whatever they was on, you know, on Sunday, man, they come in there and they like, you know, Dak get them boys ready to go because – you know, the Dolphins are going to be able to test them Cowboys with the run. They're going to have to be ready. So hopefully, you know, they got a little jump start with the Bills and they can kind of maybe get out of some of those dime looks, heavy dime looks, and kind of figure it out. But
I do think the way that the Cowboys play defense, it's a lot of speed on defense. And so they might be able to match up pretty well with the Dolphins. A lot of speed on offense. They kind of run a lot of trickery and not as much smash mouth. Yo, what up, Spence?
Oh, look who it is. Yo. Look who it is. What's what good, up, man? What up?
Chilling, man. I was getting it. I was waiting patiently for the, you know, my man was going to get at me from after the game. We was on Twitter talking. He was getting at me, so I was waiting for that segment. I didn't know when that was coming. I was just waiting patiently for it. That's all.
No, I thought you were going to come in here and talking about the past, and I don't like to bring that up. So it's it is what it is.
He just wanted to
know. No, we were actually joking. Sunday, I was actually, for once, really playing around because I had nothing to complain about. So I was joking about Gabe Davis not having any receptions and two targets in the game where Josh Allen only had, seven completions. I was joking. I wasn't really serious. So I was just messing around. But what's up, man? I miss y'all. I miss being on here with y'all.
Hey, man, you know you can come on here anytime you want, bro.
Anytime, bro.
We're just here chilling.
How you doing? You good? I see that Arizona.
I'm good.
Crazy.
You know what? No, I actually just had to take the garbage out. And this is the time of year where when it gets dark, you start to get like just a little bit of chili. So yeah. I just threw it on and that's all. But yeah.
Chili in Arizona.
It's chili for Arizona. It's not chili.
It's like a good 64 brisk. Yeah.
Something light.
Well, it's cold here. It's cold in Colorado.
I know. I know.
Hey, so real quick before you go though, how you feel about them Bills? Get some Cowboys.
I ain't leaving.
Really talked about it. Okay, stay on here.
I'm around.
How you feel about that dub?
Man, I said all along if they were able to win two out of those three games, and that's exactly what they did. So they didn't beat the Eagles, which I think they could have and should have, but they were able to beat the Chiefs, and then they won this past game. So. I think the Buffalo Bills are doing everything that they need to do to fulfill Jeremy's, you know, script. And I think that they're on the path to do that. And I think it's going to be fun to watch, man. This is the most fun that I've had since like the beginning of the season is, you know, watching them the last few weeks and especially Sunday, watching James Cook just run, man. And Josh not have to throw. Like, how many times since you and I have even started doing podcasting together, like going back to the Fanatics days, going back to then, like how many times have we talked about like just watching the game where Josh Allen doesn't have to be Josh Allen? Like, he doesn't have to be perfect. And then somebody else does something other than Diggs.
Yeah.
And now you actually get to see James Cook turn into a superstar in front of your eyes. And he's doing it like each week. He's getting better and better. And better, and we're doing this without even involving Diggs. So then, when the games come where we have to, we know we can get the ball to Diggs when we need to. It's just an incredible feeling to like it's. I have optimism again. I didn't have it 3-4 weeks ago. I didn't, and I have it again. So yeah, I'm having fun.
Nah, man, you mentioned James Cook. Yeah, that's the first time that you know in recent memory that we've seen somebody else take over a game on offense. Right. I mean, and that's to me, that's special. That's real special because, you know, there wasn't a lot of hoopla for James Cook when he was drafted in the second round by some. And he's, you know, it may have taken a little while, you know, probably it shouldn't have to take this long. Honestly, they should have played him a lot more last year. But I understand the circumstances and why they did what they did. But, man, what a surprise he's been. Like, he's what, second in the league in rushing, third in yards of scrimmage. I mean, this dude, he's balling out. And it's not like, oh, it's one game. He's been putting together consistent string of games where you go, oh, yeah, he's getting it.
I do got to call you out, though. I got to call you out.
Who?
You, Sterling. No,
you ain't calling nothing out.
No, I got to call you out. I got to call you out. So why Sterling was trying to front, like, so after this game, Sterling goes into the chat. We got this chat. And Sterling jumps in there, and he's like, see, I told y'all. I told y'all from when he was drafted that he was RB1.
Uh-huh. I sure did.
Okay. All right, Sterling. Like, let's relax.
I sure did.
You did not. You got an article. You got receipts. You got receipts, my guy.
I wasn't in those chats, but Sterling seemed like the type that would have wanted a bigger back. Wanted a bigger back and a heavy, like, run downhill 4 yards. Like, that's the type of back I feel like.
I just wanted an efficient back, bro. I just need an efficient back. Now, that, you know, that Kenneth Walker was that dude. I'm just saying, like, and you know, I'm going to have to go on code of conduct to state my point here. But
I just had to say, because you didn't say RB1, though. I'm not saying you didn't say Cook was good.
Maybe not RB1. But if out of all the people, you know, who was pounding the table for James Cook the most? Me.
I will say that you wanted James Cook. You weren't upset that the Bills got him as opposed to Hall. I wanted Breece Hall. Most people I know wanted Breece Hall. You could be honest about that.
You know,
I made a mistake.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I don't think that would have been a bad pick either. But I mean,
not necessarily a bad pick. When I say a mistake, you're right. I'm saying that wrong, because Breece Hall is still a hell of a player. But I think for what the Buffalo Bills have become, for where we're going, the way the team is built, I think James Cook was the better of the two. I love watching James Cook play, man. I love it, man. And this offensive line.
Big shout out to Joe Brady, because Joe Brady has gotten Cook involved in a way that Dorsey wasn't even looking at, and. Yeah. And I don't know what made – if Joe had that in his back pocket, or just if he brought it up to Dorsey at some points and Dorsey never wanted to take it. But, I mean, it's a threat that we just weren't using out of the backfield. And, I don't expect Cook to get 27 carries and go for 170 yards a game. But, like, the fact that he's in the passing game, you have him moving around, running routes against linebackers, just taking care of matchups, like – that's a matchup difference right there. And Kincaid, also a matchup difference. Like, those are guys that if you put into certain situations, you could take advantage of. And Dorsey wasn't doing that before. So big shout out to Joe and what he's been doing with his offense as of late and recently.
I know Sterling got a thing, so I'm sorry. The offensive line. Like, when you talk about this run game, like, you have to talk about how, like, the offensive line dominated this week, man. Like, it was like 4.3 or 4.2 yards before contact. So, like, just when you put that in perspective, like, the Bills could have ran three plays in a row and got a first down just by James Cook going down when he was touched. That's incredible, man.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, like, so shout out to, like, look, first of all, great game, James Cook. Two touchdowns. You killed it. That offensive line, man, like you got to – that offensive line put on a clinic.
And you said this on Twitter, Spencer Brown, like, and we said this before the season, that he might be one of the better run-blocking linemen in our team. And we knew this. We knew that he had that run-blocking repertoire. We wanted to see him get better in the past, and he has. And that's a big shout-out. Spence thought he'd get better with his back healing up early in the season. And I always thought he was one of the better run-blockers as well. So, like – and shout out to Spencer Brown. He's kind of proved a lot of haters that wanted him cut wrong throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for where. And I feel like we had to go through whatever we did go through previously to get here. And I'm happy with here.
I love it.
I watched all 22 today, and let me tell you, Spencer Brown's athleticism really showed up in that game, and the way he was pulling, getting around the edge. I mean, like, you know, when you have that tackle wrap play so that the backside tackle comes to the strong side and you got to get there quick. And that dude, it was poetry in motion, man. So big ups to Spencer Brown, man. He really he looked the part. But you know what else was killed? Them Dallas Cowboys. We got my dog Sports Plug Russ in here. Now, before you say anything, Russ, Bills Mafia everywhere should take a bow. And Russ will tell you that he is the honest Cowboys fan. He was the beneficiary of that shellacking, that ass whooping up in Buffalo. And I guess because of rain, the Cowboys just didn't want to play. They didn't want to play.
Oh, they wanted to play. It just didn't matter. You know, and I'll say it like this. Y'all gotta start saying it like Juicy J. You gotta start saying Bills Mafia. And just live like that. But no, I you know, Poe and Sterling, you will have, you know, even though I did pick my team to show up, I did tell y'all they're gonna run into a buzzsaw, and y'all said they are. And I said if they don't come prepared, that's gonna get whooped. I mean, that bus gonna get whooped. So no, y'all did y'all's thing. It wasn't a matter of, like, as I said, we knew the Bills, like I said, I wasn't disrespecting y'all, are going to play very hard because y'all are in this situation. And Dallas walked in there like they just didn't know that. They just walked in there like they didn't know. And the curse of the run game working on us keeps popping up. And it's like, we want to ignore it in Dallas, but it's here. Like, we can be ran on pretty easily unless DeMarcus Lawrence says no. And, like, certain games he's not going to be able to win out. So, no, it's kudos to the Bills. I will say, I think it's poetic justice that the Eagles lost. So I guess that's why I'm in a better mood than I was on Sunday. But the Bills got something to prove. This time of football, y'all might agree. You know, Bill Parcells once said, "You are what your record says you are." And this age of football, that's not necessarily true. Because the Bills are going out here, they just beat the Chiefs. They just beat the Cowboys. They should have beat the Eagles. The Eagles actually lucked out of a game against them. So this is a team, like, you probably don't really want to play. Lamar's probably looking back like, dang, there go my red golden carpet that was rolled out for me to get to the Super Bowl. But y'all still got to worry. Y'all aren't going to worry about it, but y'all know the Dolphins are lurking somewhere out there to be pesky trolls. So, you know, division foes are division foes. You know, Sterling, you know, I've been the one that said the Dolphins will be the ones to finish second in this division. I said at the beginning of the year, I was laughed at, scoffed at.
And you still laughed at.
I mean, you feel fast. What can I say? And my team gets squashed.
Hey, it feels good. It feels good to be on the side. It was a good game for us for sure. Like, I don't know, you know what y'all was up to. Like, first of all, Micah Parsons, he got to be quiet now. Micah Parsons got to be quiet, bro. It's time to be quiet.
But I think you guys can tell him to be quiet because as the Cowboys are mocked for losing, y'all's quarterback is mocked the same way for anything he does wrong.
Sure.
Like, anything he does wrong is, oh my God, look at him. He thinks he's great and he just messed up. So y'all would have the right to say, like, man, Micah big, but Micah is right though. Like, we're one of those teams. Like, Philly lost last night in horrible fashion. And today they're just like, oh, Philly lost. If Dallas would have done that and had the division wrapped up and would have tumbled like they're tumbling, it would be the worst tumble in the history of the NFL and it would be on the front page news. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll take it.
Yeah, nah, you ain't got no choice. Poe.
We don't.
Got some stuff. He been texting me all day saying he got some stuff to get off his chest. Okay, so I'm gonna get a flow to Poe real quick so he can let you know.
No, all I said was I told you Dak is not that, and not against our defense anyways. Dak is not gonna sit there and throw the ball 40 times and win a football game against us. And so, like, this is what I said at the beginning, is if we put them in a one-dimensional situation where they're gonna have to throw the ball over and over again, this is no fly zone over here when you want to throw the ball 35 to 40 times. It's not a winning thing in Buffalo. And so I thought if Pollard could get going, like, it might be a rough, like, and he did not.
You did say that, and I told you, I said I'm not gonna disagree with you about y'all secondary. We need Pollard to step it up. Dowdle to step it up, and y'all's line held that down. It was a butt kicking from the line of scrimmage from start to finish on both sides of the ball by the Buffalo Bills.
I'm gonna blame your tight end coach. Stop putting our faces on your little dummies over there. Yeah. That shit ain't gonna fly.
So he had a Poyer and
talking the entire game. Stop putting our faces on the little dummies over there.
Who do you have on the Poyer and Benford?
Dotson had his best game as linebacker.
Yeah, here, so. I mean, if you're gonna do that, then you gotta show up.
Yeah, you gotta show up.
Yeah, we did.
So let me ask y'all a question real quick. Let me ask y'all a question.
That was dominant.
The MVP race is coming down to the final 3 weeks. Right now, you got Brock Purdy's probably the front runner. Josh Allen's sitting at fourth. Dak is at third. I would probably venture to say what Christian McCaffrey is in there somewhere. Like,
is this in the odds? Are you going by the
yeah,
odds?
Yeah, yeah, just to, okay. Just the odds. What?
Who's two?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to. This is just off the rip.
Is it Jackson?
Spence probably looking it up right now.
I'm about to look it up because Tyreek, it right? Actually sounded Tyreek, well, it sounded off too because Josh was sixth when I looked earlier. Not
is fourth, he six? So. Okay. Either way,
it's Tyreek, Brock, CMC, and then Josh is in the top six somewhere.
Okay, Josh is five now at 1,200.
Okay, he's fifth.
So first is Brock, second is Lamar, Dak is third, Lamar. And McCaffrey is fourth.
It's wide open then.
Sterling, you know.
So who
you know.
Who's winning MVP is the question. Now Josh Allen he ain't gonna win it unless he's got to throw for five touchdown passes in the next three games, like each game.
I don't think so. I just think the Bills have to win.
Go ahead, Spence. What now?
Just have to win. Well, I think me and Jeremy agree. I just think the Bills have to win. I don't even think he has to throw. He doesn't have to even go out there and have a phenomenal game. We just have to win. And the Buffalo, like this week, there's no way that this game can be close. We have to dominate this team that doesn't have Justin Herbert. Like, it just has to happen. And if we don't, then, okay, he probably won't win MVP. But I think it's going to be Brock Purdy. Just because the team, he's in the best situation. I don't think he's the best player by any means, not even close. But I think he's in the best situation, and I think his numbers are going to continue to be that. And it's a quarterback award. I would give it to McCaffrey, to be honest with you, if I'm going to give it to anybody off the 49ers.
That's like, fair.
That's just me. But yeah, no, it's going to be Purdy.
My perspective on the MVP race, like this late in the season, that nobody has taken it already. It's not like a foregone conclusion yet. It's just going to be about who builds the best narrative. And so for Josh, the only narrative he needs to win is that he can win games. That's the only narrative he needs to build. So if he wins out and he wins the East and we dominate the two teams we need to dominate, and then even if we barely beat the Dolphins, we beat them. Like, that's all Josh has to do is win football games, I feel like, going forward to win the MVP or to at least have a shot at it. If anybody from the Niners should win it or will win it, in my opinion, it's got to be CMC and Brock Purdy knows that. So I just feel like Brock's going to push that narrative that CMC should get it. So if I had to guess, it would be CMC or Josh, if Josh ended up winning out.
Russ?
You know I'm going to say Lamar Jackson about to snag it. Dak had his shot. Wait, but here, I know, Poe, I don't even want to be like, no, Poe, you're wrong, because the minute I say that, the football guys are like, ha, gotcha again. You're going to lose. But no, I think that really, guys, like, you know the game coming up on Christmas. Mm-hmm. If he wins this game, wins the AFC North, and as out there in the playoffs, has his team in good position. You know, how could you take it? Like, it was in Dak's hands, but after y'all shellacked us, I believe it's no longer, unless he does something miracle, but it's no longer a possibility for him. And you're looking at the one guy that, I agree with you, Poe. Like, Josh Allen balls out. Like, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, his team is struggling, and this man pulled him out the mud. But at the same time, y'all found the key to running the ball with Cook, so is he going to get that many more opportunities to do so? And then you look at Lamar, and it's like every game continue forward. We saw it Sunday night. It's him. Like, it is. Even though they have better players and it's a better team, it's him. And you know how I feel about him, Sterling. Like, I think this is his year to take another MVP. This is also probably his year to go to Super Bowl.
I feel like the narrative with Lamar, though, is different with Josh. Josh puts up numbers week to week, regardless win or lose, he puts up generally. And so he didn't put up numbers the last game, but we won. So he doesn't need to put up numbers per se. He just needs to win these next few games because that's the narrative. The narrative with Lamar is he needs to throw for like a couple games of 300 here going forward, and he needs to be the reason they win these games, because as of right now, his numbers aren't that great. And I mean, they're great, but they're not that great to where like MVP. And so I feel like he needs to win, and he needs to be the reason they win for him to get that nudge ahead of Josh and ahead of CMC as the MVP. Because I feel like the Niners are going to walk away with that. I mean, they're going to win these games going forward, and they may even sit the last game. So it'll be hard to like judge that. So I feel like whoever could create the best narrative going forward of Josh pulled his team out the mud with wins, and that's all he really needs to do. You make the playoffs, boom. Or especially if you win the division, like that's – you win the division after where we were at, and Josh is the catalyst behind that, it'll be hard to not give it to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know,
that's believable.
It's yeah, it's I not, mean, it's not far-fetched at all. I think Lamar has a good shot. What's the general consensus on Brock Purdy though? Because you know he's a guy that you know people aren't giving him any respect or much respect. You know, like when we talk, even on the show, when we talk about Brock Purdy, we talk about Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Ayuk and Deebo Samuel.
I was just gonna say, like, and I think y'all agree, like, Brock, we're sorry, but we can't give you all the credit, dude. Like, you play with the Miami Heatles. Like, you literally have like a top five receiver, whether people want to believe it or not. Two of them actually, stat wise, and Ayuk. You have a top five receiver. You have a receivers. You have a running back that is just gonna be Hall of Fame forever remembered. You know what I'm saying? Your coach is one of the best coaches whose dad created possibly the best coaching tree that has ever been created, with all the branches that he has, from his son to Kubiak, Mike McDaniels, the way that they run their system. It's just very hard to just look at Brock Purdy and say, dude, we know that we're not saying that you're not good at football, but we know that the reason why you're putting all some of these stats up is because you can throw the ball to 19. And he's going to look at the Eagles, and what did he say on TV? And more speed. Like, he out of nowhere, Christian McCaffrey takes the first run 70 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, you.
One of the best defense in football as well. So, like, the way we look at Brock is the way I looked at Jalen Hurts last year. And now you're seeing what Jalen Hurts can look like when he doesn't have that defense behind him that's keeping him in, when the offensive line isn't really getting the push that they were getting last year, and you're running the ball down people's throats. And don't get me wrong, the Eagles are still good, but nobody looks at Jalen Hurts right now as an MVP or as the catalyst of that team right now. And that's the same – I'm going to give that same thing to Brock Purdy, because Brock Purdy is in that same situation that Jalen was in last year. Yeah. So I'm not – I can't just give you the MVP because you went on a team that's dynamic like that with a great defense, and you're balling out, don't get me wrong, but you kind of have to be the reason to ball out for you to get the MVP.
Go ahead, Spence.
I agree with all – like everything that y'all saying is right. I feel like the way the voters go and the way everything is going to go is like you mentioned earlier, it's about narrative. And the narrative right now is that the best team in the league, or probably just the NFC, but I say the league, their quarterback is a guy that doesn't turn it over a lot. They don't lose a lot because of him. And he makes the right throw. And even though I agree with what both of you are saying, first of all, I really agree with what Russ said. I will give it to Lamar Jackson. I think what we've seen him do throughout the entire season, with the injuries to his running backs, the injuries to his wide receivers, the injuries to, you know, Mark Andrews is gone. Mm-hmm. Like when you just talk about the injury after injury after injury, and then he still has his team in position to have the number one seed in the AFC. He's killing it. Like, and I get it. He doesn't have the 350-yard passing, but then you add in the 70 yards rushing and touchdown there. Like, you add in all of these things, and to me, Lamar Jackson probably should be the most valuable player, but it's going to be Brock Purdy. He don't turn the ball over, man. I'll be willing to put some money on that one, man. I'd be willing to bet it. Just how the voters go.
I agree with you. So let me tell you what Brock Purdy's stats are right now. So he's second in the league in passing, 3,795. He leads the league in yards per attempt at 9.9 yards per attempt. That's crazy. And he has 29 touchdowns and 7 picks. So he has he leads the league in passer rating right now. So, and probably QBR. So he's having a good year. I mean, that system really boosts him. And I would say the same for Tua. That system is what makes and they're playing in the same system. Ain't that crazy? Yeah. Same system, and they're putting up very similar numbers.
But they say the same things about both of them.
Yeah.
They say the exact, when we look at Tua, it's like, he's deadly accurate, but he gets to throw to the fastest thing that has ever played football. And possibly one of the, and Waddle's not a slouch either. He's the fastest thing whenever. You know what I'm saying?
Could you imagine? And I'm happy now with Joe Brady and Buffalo, but just imagine for a second, a talent of Josh Allen with like a Steph Diggs, like just imagine like this offense with that type of scheme, where you have those guys getting open, you have you're able to do the things with Diggs that you do with Deebo. Come on, man. Like, and now that we've seen what we've done with James Cook, And I'm not saying exact offense, but I'm just saying like the creativity of it. What we've seen with James Cook, do that. What we've seen with McCaffrey with Cook, man, like he's able to come out the backfield and be just as dangerous as he is as a running back. So
yeah.
I don't know. I would just love, again, I'm happy with Joe Brady now, but that scheme, man, like I'm with y'all, man. He's Steve Kerr in 96 on the Bulls. Yeah. Like all he has to do is go out there and every once in a while hit the one shot that he's open for. He ain't got to do nothing else because Jordan and Pippen, and he hit the shot.
You know what I'm saying? It's like what can you tell? He's like Robert.
Does anybody know how many MVPs Pat has?
Who?
Pat Mahomes.
Two, three.
So here's another, like, and this might suck for Lamar. Do you really think they're going to give Lamar, without him running away with it, to tie Pat Mahomes with MVPs?
No,
it's hard because when there's nobody that's running away with it, they're going to give it to somebody that they want to be the face. This is why I do think Josh is going to be the guy to win it. And I think Josh has been pushed by the NFL, and rightfully so. He's a great kid, great dude. And I just feel like if there's no runaway winner and Josh wins out this year, it'll be really hard for me to sit here and say they don't want Josh to win the MVP.
Yeah, I mean that's an idea. Here's another one for you.
And I can't
hold up. So you look at TV markets. TV market plays a big deal in NFL in terms of persuasion. So I think if you want to put up somebody from the AFC, you probably want to go Josh, even though he's in a small market, but he's so marketable and brandable. On the West Coast, Brock Purdy is probably your guy. San Francisco is a mega TV market. So much business goes on that side of the country. I think, you know, if Josh falters in some way and Purdy is not, you know, it's not the same, I really do think it might be between those two guys. TV markets are crazy.
I agree that Lamar, in terms of should he win it, I think Lamar should win it.
Should win it. But, most valuable to his team this year, sure.
But with what all Bro Po was saying, I'm in full agreement that I would love for it to be a Josh Allen, you know. And I would love for it to be a Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you this, though. Did we not say the same thing the first time Lamar won it?
He did
unprecedented. Nah, he killed it. He killed it.
No. I'm saying no, but I know. But I'm saying when it was coming down and he was doing all these things, people were still doubting it because of Lamar Jackson, just the way he does it. I just think he's so dynamic. He gonna do something down the stretch.
I agree.
I will tell y'all this. It's going to depend on this Christmas Day game. So our Christmas Eve game, the game against the 49ers that they're about to play.
No, it's him and Brock. So, it's him and Brock. Yep.
When he plays that game, if he is like you said, if Josh is the reason, if he does Heisman moment, quote unquote, if he does something in this game that just flips the game on its head, and he does some Lamar Jackson like last Sunday when he escaped the pocket and threw it deep to Likely, and it was like, what's going on, man? Like, that's not fair. Like, if he does some things like that and they're able to go through and go through with the victory against San Francisco, I don't know, man. It's gonna be hard to give it to anybody else, but if they lose, then, Poe, your door is still open. But I really believe if Lamar Jackson, and he's always the reason they win. So if they win this game against,
they got to win, and their offense got to go crazy against a good Niners defense.
Can I ask you this question? Here's Brock's got to go hard and like throw a lot. But Lamar could literally like Spence, right? Spencer, right? Like Spencer said, like he adds on that rushing attack. Lamar may not pass for a whole lot of yards, but what if he goes out there and runs for like $150 or something, or goes and runs for like 100 yards?
It's over. If he does that against the Niners, it's over.
You know what I'm saying? And scores like two or three touchdowns with his feet. You know what I'm saying? And he's just like, oh my God. 20-17
game and him walk away.
You don't think if he does that?
He needs to score 30, in my opinion, going forward. If Josh, here's the debate I'm having. If Josh finishes the last seven games of scoring 30 plus points, regardless of who was the reason he scored. Now, Lamar doesn't need to throw for 300, but he needs to score a lot of points, and it needs to look like the offense is the reason that they won the football game. It needs to look, the perception of the game needs to be Lamar took over the game, and he was the reason that they won the football game. It can't be a defensive performance.
I mean, or it could be a moment. It could be a moment too. It could come down to, like, you know, if it, because even if it's a low scoring game, if it's one of those games where the 49ers take the lead and you got 3 minutes left and Lamar gets the ball, and it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you got a 2 minute drill. Like, if Lamar Jackson does this on Monday Night Football against the San Francisco, you know what I mean? Like, the drama.
Christmas Day.
Like, yeah. Like, so, I mean, like, it could be something like that.
It could be like the Chiefs Bill game. And, like, it might be great on Christmas, but whoever has the best story at the end of the season, and now we play the Dolphins the last game. And so we have one of the bigger games in the NFL the last week. So the recency bias is going to be like, okay. And even with Tyreek, if Tyreek hits that 2,000 last game and if that game is close and the Dolphins end up doing whatever, like, he could end up popping up and grabbing something at some point. Like, it'll be interesting.
The 49ers biggest, baddest.
Well, I'm sorry. Is the voting really done that late, though? Like, I feel like a lot of times, like, almost every year, I feel like when the award is discussed afterwards, it's like, well, it's not the award is pretty much decided by week such and such. And, like, every year, we always end up having that conversation. Now we're talking about it in advance, and it's like, we got a couple weeks left. Is it really going to go to, like, the final game of the season?
I think it might.
Because there's nobody that dominated that, that scene. If it was Pat Mahomes winning it, foregone conclusion, they probably put their votes in, it was done, nobody was thinking about it. But there's nobody there's nobody in a narrative stance that has run away with this award.
Yeah.
So, like, they might go to, I mean, the last game, recency bias, Josh comes out 350 yards against the Dolphins, it might be done.
All right. But I will say this, though, and I'll let you go, sir, my bad. Beating the bullies on the block is going to mean something. If he's able, all we hear, and we talk about how the media is all driving this, all we hear the media is the 49ers, and rightfully so, because they're smashing everybody, but 49ers. So if they go out here and Lamar's able to beat the 49ers, I think even though I think you're right about recency bias, and if Josh goes out there, they're still going to look back and say, he beat the 49ers. Like, he did that. You know what I'm saying? And Josh already beat the Dolphins. We already know y'all could beat them. It's just a matter of if y'all will beat them. It's kind of like the Philly Dallas effect. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just your division opponent. You guys got to go out there and get it done. But Lamar versus, they don't play often. AFC, NFC clash.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's a great game. Yeah. It's going to be really good. While we're talking about narrative and media being the force and the backbone, and a lot of these narratives being driven, I don't know if you guys have noticed the conspiracy that the Super Bowl logo and the colors of it. I don't know if you guys have heard of that conspiracy. Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going somewhere with this. So it recently changed to blue and red. And we know who's blue and red around here. You know, them boys in blue, not the Cowboys.
It was purple, wasn't it? Bills.
Well, you go check it out.
They changed it?
It's red and blue, buddy. It's a lot of blue, little shades of red in it. Now, I say all that to say this. We're talking about best teams in the league, okay? Who, and I'll start with Spence, we'll go to Russ, and then we'll end with you, Poe. Who is going to represent the AFC and the NFC in the Super Bowl? Who you got right now, based off of play, who you got?
Based off of play, I'm going
right now.
I'm going to game that we're going to watch Monday night for Monday Night Football. I'm going to go to the Ravens and the 49ers.
Ooh. You think the Ravens are going to get in the playoffs? Okay. Yeah. That's good. Russ?
They'll absolutely get in the playoffs, but I think that...
Yeah. What was that, 2012?
What are you talking about?
When they played, the last Super Bowl they played, was that 2012? The Lights Out? 2012-13?
Oh, yeah, the Harbor Bowl.
Okay. By play, sorry, honest Dallas Cowboys fan, by play, NFC's 49ers. I don't see anything but, like, Jesus coming down and touching someone's leg and making it break again before they lose, because it's just unstoppable. In the AFC, even though you guys are playing really well, I really do think that he may not get it done. I think this is the year that Lamar Jackson really has a chance to get it done. I echo, but you're asking by play. So, like, those two teams are just, so I have to agree with Spence. Like, you can't, y'all might have, but just by the way they're playing, there's only a couple teams that I would put in that slot.
Okay.
But I have to go with the same thing that Spencer. I have to go with the Ravens and the 49ers as well.
Poe?
watch the team
be so, game. So it's hard because we're not in the playoffs yet. And so
yeah.
It's hard. Like if I knew for sure, like if I'm going to stand on the fact that I believe we're going to make the playoffs, I don't think there's a team that could beat us in the playoffs. So like, I don't think the Ravens are better than us. I think we actually play extremely well against the Ravens. So I would say Bills Niners if we get in, and I would also say Chiefs Niners if we don't get in. I think the Chiefs still find a way to pull it out against a Lamar Jackson team. I haven't seen Lamar win in the playoffs, and so he's actually struggled heavily when he's gotten into the playoffs. And I know Pat Mahomes can win, so it's hard for me to go against that. So if we made the playoffs, I would say Bills Niners. If we don't make the playoffs, I would say Chiefs Niners.
Can I ask you a question? I
just don't trust them.
I just want to ask both this question because I can't argue with that. You're right about Patrick Mahomes, but he's never played away from home. So what's going to happen when he goes to the wire?
I've seen him go on the road and throw for 40.
With no receiver.
I'm saying he has never had to take the road through the playoffs out of Kansas City. So do you think if he goes up to the wire, it's just going to be hunky dory? It's going to be his. It's because more than likely he does. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I love the show. My bad.
We went to Baltimore, and it wasn't in the playoffs, but we played Baltimore at home in the playoffs. We played Baltimore every year over the last 3 years, and they got one, I think, 21-14. And ever since then, they haven't been able to do anything in the playoffs or close to the playoffs when it comes down to it, because teams play Lamar in a four rush. You quarterback spy when you get to the playoffs, and you make him beat you with his arm, and he doesn't in the playoffs. And so it's hard for me to say when he hasn't shown me anything in the playoffs, and Pat Mahomes has, and I go with the better quarterback. So,
and I'll say this though, for the first time, it's crazy that you bring these two up. For the first time though, the receivers are switched too, because Lamar used to have poochies at receivers. And now Mahomes got poochies. So it's kind of like, I'll let Spencer go after this. I think you can go back and forth, but I really think people are downplaying how much it's going to mean not being an Arrowhead. I think that's going to mean a lot, because the playoffs are a way different animal than the regular season. And I think you catch the Ravens flock out there, and then it's cold. I know it's cold in Kansas City, but it's cold. That water coming off that lake, what is it, the Potomac or whatever, the DMV rocking. They're going to be playing that music. What's that music they be playing with the drums?
Encore, baby.
The go-go.
They're playing encore.
They're going to be playing that go-go. They're going to be wilding out. And I think that's the kind of environment Lamar needs, because sports is about getting over humps, and this just seems like a year that Lamar's there. There's the hill, and you're right there.
You're banking on him getting over the hump.
I think there's something you got not talking about. I think that Ravens defense is for real. That it front is. Seven they got with Roquan Smith, and then boys up front, Michael Pierce. Mm-hmm. Man, they are stout up front.
Hamilton,
they got
corners.
Look, man, I'm telling you, that defense, and Lamar's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to need some help from that defense, though. But that defense is really good. Mike McDonald is one of the better young defensive minds in the league, and he's going to be knocking on a head coaching door here soon. So I think that Ravens defense is going to have something to say. Whoever comes up to play them in the playoffs, they're going to be really good. They're going to be a tough out.
Can I ask you a question?
Hold up, Spence, had something.
Right. Oh no! I mean, I was agreeing with everybody, man. Y'all done set it up, because you're right about the defense. But then, like what Russ was saying about the offense, about the Ravens, man, it's different. Like, I think the belief is that Lamar really can't throw, but I think we've seen this year that he can, and I think we've seen that because he does have an OBJ when he's healthy. He does have, you know, he has a better core group of receivers this year versus now. We're used to. I agree with Poe. You're right. We are used to seeing Patrick Mahomes win. But guess what? We're used to seeing them win. And now he doesn't even have somebody as good as Juju Smith-Schuster on his right. Yeah. Like, they're struggling to pass the ball, bro. Like, they're struggling.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're talking about the playoffs again, and you're right, Lamar Jackson hasn't shown it because I don't think he's had the right pieces around him to do so. Now I think he does. And I think Patrick Mahomes doesn't. Like, he's still got 87. 87 is going to be 87. But I think the way the NFL is playing 87 and Patrick Mahomes together is different, the same way you're talking about how they switch up on Lamar. So I really do, man. I think the Ravens, man, if it ain't the Bills, if it ain't the Bills, it's going to me, I'm seeing it's the Ravens.
I guess being there in 2020 when we played the Ravens at home in the playoff game.
We smacked
being
them,
there and seeing, I mean, we didn't smack them, but Lamar didn't do anything, and he actually hurt. He I, they're seeing him drive down and throw the pick in that moment to Taron in a situation where you don't have to throw it. Then I get to go watch them play us play in Baltimore again, and I'm watching Lamar throw two picks, one in the end zone to Jordan when you really can't throw a pick. It makes me feel like when the chips are down and you're gonna need a drive in a playoff type scenario, that Lamar is just not gonna get it done throwing the football. And so I'm not saying he can't throw the football. He can. He's one of the better arm talents, I think, in the NFL, top 10 at least. And so but I just don't think when the chips are down that he's going to be able to. I think he falters when it counts, and I think we've seen that. We've seen that happen in the last couple of years. So I 2 years prior, because he didn't play last year in the playoffs. But
yeah. I think that's fair. Like, but again, yeah. I just think the biggest difference about that is when you look at years past, is that the talent that they put around him and the scheme. You're talking about a Greg Roman scheme that was built to have him run and not have the type of weapons to throw it anyways. Now you have an OBJ who can create. We saw OBJ in the Super Bowl last time when he was with the Rams. We saw what he did before that ACL injury. And then you look at Zay Flowers, man. I would love to have a Zay Flowers on this Buffalo Bills roster. Are you kidding? So I mean, like, just the talent that he has around him now, I just think is different, and we're seeing Lamar Jackson win games differently now. We haven't seen him really go out there and win it with his arm like we have this season. So I got a different type of belief in him this year for it. And like I said, I'm with you. I hope the Bills stay on this upswing, and I hope the chips fall the way that they're supposed to when the Bills get in, and then we just go ahead and demolish everybody once we get into the tournament, and that's that. But you know, the way I see it going, if the playoffs started today, the Bills are not in it. I'm going with the Ravens.
So there's two games that I want to point out that backs up what we think about Lamar Jackson. So we talk about Lamar Jackson in late game situations. I don't know if you guys watched the Ravens at the Colts maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. Lamar Jackson had to lead him down to the game winning drive. Got sacked on second down. Had to make a play on third down. And he made it. And then we talk about the one against the Rams where, hey, he made some big-time plays through the game-winning touchdown pass to Zay Flowers. And that's the maturation that you know, we talk about. Like, if you took a snapshot of Lamar Jackson, a couple years ago, you'd be like, yeah, he's not clutch. But you look at him now, he is a complete quarterback running an NFL offense, actually, and he's got guys that make plays, and so that makes him alone dangerous. And I don't know if you guys seen the against the Jaguars where he's scrambling around, and he throws one up to Isaiah Likely to get to the 5 yards.
Crazy.
He is just doing what he's supposed to do. That's all I want to
say. Can I piggyback off of that, though? And I was going to say, along with that, you know, a great quality of a good quarterback is making players better. And Mark Andrews went down, and he's a top. He's a top three tight end, might be two in the league, because after Travis, not many people better than Mark Andrews. Boom, was going to stand up. But Isaiah Likely has stepped in, and we know, and you know, we all like, I don't know about y'all, but y'all know Sterling, you know, we love the draft. So we following this kid. We know he's a great tight end talent. Lamar is able to get this kid to start playing better. And I just think it's a big difference when you have the weapons, you have a scheme that's built around your ability. And like Sterling was saying, it's growth too. So, like, Poe, you're not wrong. I think what we're just seeing here is we're seeing a divide of just, can you do it? Will you do it? Because now you're saying, same thing with that. It always comes
out. He's exact same thing with that. I don't think that can do it.
I was going to ask y'all this because I have a theory, and Sterling, you know how I am with theories. It is a theory of mine that it is hard to win multiple games in a row in the NFL. Most of you would agree, which is one reason why I believe the Cowboys also lost to you guys, is because it's hard to beat six NFL teams in a row. And when the sixth one you play is actually very talented, they might buzzsaw you. So like the Bengals last year, when you get on a roll like the Bills are, once the playoff starts, do you still have faith that they're going to be able to win? Because at that point, it'll be how many games in a row you'd have to win, like 7, 8.
It depends on how you look at how the team looks at the games.
Yeah.
This Bills team looks at every game as a 1-0. We're 1-0, and now we're 0-0 starting Tuesday.
I think it's a lot of coach speak too, though, because I mean these guys know what they're thick. But I'll say this:
it's all coach speak. But you need it. It's coach speak is needed, because in the locker room you have to think like Poe's thinking. I'm just thinking from the outside perspective of, we've seen this with a lot of teams that get hot, make a run, and then it's like,
how they all of a sudden lose? And it's like, dude, they've won seven games in a row. You know what I'm saying? They've won. But y'all are stuck in a situation where you have to do it, a la the 2007 Giants.
So let me make a case for the Buffalo Bills real quick before we get out of here. DaQuan Jones coming back is going to be huge. Ed Oliver has been playing like a top three defensive tackle in the league. Now you finally have a cornerback who can be physical, Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. Okay. Now, when you look at the Ravens, so it's all about matchups. The Ravens don't match up well against the Bills for their style of play on defense. The Ravens don't have that bell cow running back that's going to pound it between the tackles. But now the Bills have kind of fortified the defensive line. So I'm saying that expecting DaQuan Jones to be back by the Miami game, and he's going to be full form. It's just a pectoral. It's not like he's got to, get conditioned right. He's ready to go. But that team is facing the Bills. They feed right into the Bills' strengths. It's going to be a good test for Lamar Jackson. He's going to have to look at the defense, kind of like what they served up to Dak, changing the script pre and post snap, showing one coverage and then being in another. I think it was the same thing last year when the Bills went up to Baltimore. Spence, you were there at that game. You saw it with your own two eyes. I'm not saying that the Bills are going to win, but what I'm saying is I think if there's any team in the AFC that can give the Ravens a fit, it's the Buffalo Bills.
I'm agreeing. I think if the Buffalo Bills make the playoffs, I agree with what Poe said earlier and what everybody is saying. I think if the Bills make the playoffs in the AFC, I think nobody wants to play us. I think we're built to beat everybody in the AFC. I'm not saying it like you saw what we did to the Chiefs. We won by three. Right. So I'm not saying it like we blew them out. But I don't even think that game we really played to the best of our – No, a win is a win, but I'm saying, like, I don't want to sound like I'm smacking on them. I'm saying we won, but I still think if we were to play them again, I would be confident in that game, you know, and then, you talk about us when we play against other teams that are good. I feel confident in that, man. I think we're the top teams in it. I'm not worried about Miami. Like, even if they beat us week 18, they're not going to. Cause then we're out. But I'm saying, like, I'm not worried about Miami. You see what I'm saying? Like, He is. We destroy Miami most of the time that we played them. I'm not worried about them. What I'm worried about is Sean McDermott. That's what I've been worried about.
Let's say it again.
That's what I've been worried about.
Is it all of you? Is it everybody? All of you? Everybody? Everybody hate Sean McDermott?
I don't hate Sean. I like Sean, and I want Sean to. I want Sean to succeed. I have trust issues with Sean. Because what he's shown me time and time again over the course of our relationship since he's gotten to Buffalo is that when it comes to big moments in big games, he does not make the best call for the team. And then he also has shown me that he makes these boneheaded decisions to either like he removes confidence from his best players in the biggest moments of the biggest games, and I hate that person. So Poe might disagree with me on that. I don't know how Sterles feels on that, but to me, that's how I view him. And going into this stretch, I think the Buffalo Bills are on an upswing. Actually, to your question too, I think we started to get hot at the right time. I think previously, like the Hail Murray year, I think we got hot just a little bit too early. That was maybe like three or four games earlier. I think right now, after the Eagles game, that you get that bye, you got that fresh wind. I think the Buffalo Bills are getting hot at the right time to do what they need to do. I just worry about Sean.
Yeah, Sean McDermott is a reason for concern. But I have to give Sean credit for the last two games. He's had these guys ready to play schematically. Yes. And they haven't really had to put him in situational football where he's had to get that muscle going. But he's got these dudes ready to play. So I echo the same sentiment as you do. I don't trust them, but man, I just want to hope that they can get over the hump. Like, I don't want to see Josh Allen get a lead and then all of a sudden the defense blows it because of a stupid, zero blitz. Like, I can't live with myself if I see that again.
I'd want to say with the Sean thing, I just think that there's more good than bad that he's had in those situations. We just really only look at the bad. We've looked at like the Hail Mary, the 12 men on the field, the 13 seconds. There's like five, six situations where we've looked at with Sean that we microscope and we don't look at the rest of the situation. So I'm not on that McDermott train. I think he's a he gets us to a top six, top four situation every year. And so I just, you fire someone, you get a coach with carousel here. I'm not on that wave, but Bills are winning the Super Bowl if we get to the playoffs. So.
Can I just justify that for 1 second though? Because I really don't magnify that. I've been a big Sean McDermott supporter for multiple years, and this is the first year that I've come out in support of moving on from him after the season is over. I don't magnify the 12 men on the field or all those other moments. I look at how long he's been a head coach, how many years he's made the playoffs, and then how we've exited. I know you're going to lose some games. I'm not talking about losing. Some years it's just not your year. You're going to lose. I don't fault him for the Texans loss. It just wasn't your year. I get that. But the way you lose in the playoffs, that 13 seconds last year, the way you lost to the Bengals, that I'm talking about playoffs. I'm not talking about 12 men on the field against the Denver Broncos week 9 or whatever it is during the season. I'm talking about you got beat down 27-10 in the playoffs at home in Orchard Park against the Bengals when all you talk about is how home field advantage and Bills Mafia and all this stuff is supposed to be your strength. That's what I'm talking about. And we haven't done it. We've regressed in the playoffs, man. We made it to the AFC Championship once, and we ain't been back since. And I think we have the talent to do it. Mm-hmm. If it ain't the talent, then what is it?
I mean, the Bengals were better than us last year, and we were tired. That way, players were tired. Previously, 13 seconds, and then previously, the Chiefs were better. Like, we've lost to better teams 3 of the 4 years. We were better than the Chiefs,
and
we lost
in 13 seconds.
The Bengals were a better football team than us last year at that time of the season.
Go ahead, Russ.
I have a hypothetical for Bills Mafia coming straight out of Texas. So let's say you do lose. You're mad. You're angry. I got two words, one name. Greatest ever, Bill Belichick. Y'all trying to go snag him?
I'm good. He too old.
I'm straight.
I'm good on Bill.
He ain't got. He doesn't have to be the GM. He could just be the
coach. I want no part of that dude. I don't want no part of that dude, man. The Bills, they're just like, and we're going to wrap up here. There's just always, not saying you're saying this, Poe, but there's always an excuse as to why we don't get over the hump, you know, and you got to prove it, man. Like last year, they were better than the Bengals. They could have beat the Bengals. Like, are we kidding?
Could have beat the Bengals and better or not the same thing. And we were not a better football team last year.
Bro, they had every, you got the second best quarterback in the league. You had everything you needed to beat the Bengals. You had everything you needed to beat the Chiefs both times in the playoffs. Maybe not the first time in the AFC Championship. You got destroyed. But the Bills, I mean, you look at statistically, they were like top three in the league in most categories. Like,
we didn't have a
running
game.
We just can't make excuses.
They had Joe Mixon, and we didn't have that great of a run defense, and we didn't have a running game. And until now, if we go on the road now, being on the home and going on the road, if we were on the road now, nobody wants to play this Bills team. It doesn't matter. Though that Bengals team last year was a better football team at that point in the year than we were. And we were run down from everything that happened last year at that point. We were out of juice. And so when I look at what team was better at that point, we've not been better than 3 of the teams that we've lost to in the playoffs. And we were better once, and we lost because we were 13 seconds. We were 13 seconds away from winning it.
Go ahead, Spence.
Whose fault is it that the team isn't the best?
Everybody's.
GM. No, whose job does that come down to?
GM, coach, players. Like, and I'm talking about the best at that moment. Do we have the pieces? We have the pieces, yeah. Did we hit a stride at some point in that last year where we were winning?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Where we were winning, like, close games, and we were winning. We were squeaking by some games. We had a snowstorm where we had to go travel for away games, and we pulled out that one at the end of the game because of Josh's heroics. Like, I'm not saying that we weren't a good team last year. We just weren't better than the Bengals at that point in the season. They had been on a roll at the end of last year, the Bengals have, and they have one of the best receiving corps in football. So I just...
No, you're right. So this is what I'll say. And so the reason why I asked whose job is it? In Buffalo, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean work in tandem. We know the way that it works in Buffalo is not like it works in every other city. Sean McDermott is basically an extension of Brandon Bean and vice versa. They work in tandem for the major decisions of this team and the way it goes. We all know that.
Right.
How many years are these two in tandem going to get an excuse for not getting it done in the playoffs? Like, at some point, you have to go sit back and say, okay, we're good enough to get to the playoffs. I'm not mad at that. I'm not saying that these guys suck. I'm happy that this is my head coach and this is my GM because of where we are. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you want to get to that next step, they've proven where they can get us. They've proven it to us now for, what, 6 years? They've shown us that they can get us to the playoffs. They've shown us that they can win the AFC East. But they've also shown us that now for 2 years in a row, we can't get out the divisional round of the playoffs. They've also shown me that we can't get back to the AFC Championship. They've also shown me that when it comes to, like, I'm just saying, like, this
they've
is what
shown you that we can get to the AFC Championship. They've shown you that we can't.
I'm saying we can't get back
in the AFC Championship.
We got there.
And they've shown you that we can get to the Super Bowl. Really, if you want to, if we talk about the 13 seconds that we can get to, whether or not winning the Super Bowl, that's a step that we haven't seen yet. But we've shown that he's shown that they can get us to the Super Bowl. They've shown us that in some years they're not going to get there. Only two teams get to get to the Super Bowl. Only four teams get to get to the AFC and the NFC Championship.
Right.
If we keep firing coaches because they're not getting us to where, like, at some point. We can't just get on a coaching carousel.
Bro, you're saying keep firing coaches. You've become a Bills fan, and the only time you've been a Bills fan, Sean McDermott has been the coach the entire time. You have known another head coach in Buffalo since Sean McDermott.
If you fire your head coach, the next step, unless he gets to a Super Bowl or gets to a good spot in the playoffs, is a carousel of coaches. And that'll come and go and come and go. We've seen
But no one is suggesting. Nobody is suggesting to go from one coach to another. Then every 2 years, fire and hire a new coach. I'm not saying that at all. There's quality coaches that you can hire that you can actually still maintain the foundation that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean has put, but get these guys to go to the next level. I'm not saying we got to go every year from having this and now all of a sudden because we want to move on from Sean that we go to being the team that sucks that can't even make the playoffs. So we need to fire somebody every 2 years.
Bringing in somebody new to try and have this system with Josh and what we got going on here is not proven. It's not. It has.
Proven. I'd like to retort that.
Get us to a spot.
I'd like to say that actually it has been proven because the Cowboys did it. The Cowboys had a team that I'm not saying that you are the Cowboys, but I'm saying you have a team that in this situation is underachieving because what people think of is the coach is fault. And we stuck with our coach way too long, but we switched. And like what you're saying is you probably want to change philosophy, but we switched and we got Mike McCarthy. And people thought, oh, it's not going to work. But it actually has worked pretty well. And I honestly think that.
You guys have gone to the same spot with Mike McCarthy as you were getting with Garrett. Like, it doesn't look as pretty with Mike McCarthy. He's in a good spot. He gets a good record in the regular season. But you guys are getting to the same spot. And now when Mike gets fired because he's not getting you to the Super Bowl after you lose this year to the Niners, he's going to get fired.
I'll say this, though, about the spots. Jason Garrett, it took him a long time to get into the playoffs, number one, because we lived with 8-8 chaos for so long. And then when he got there, 2014 was the 1 year that we got there. Des caught it, but it was the 1 year that we got there. And other than that, we floated around complaining. And I'm not saying that y'all just complained. I'm saying that, and I told Sterling this, the same thing you guys are saying, without as good as results, we didn't go to a conference championship, but I'm saying the same things that y'all have. Well, sometimes the coach does game plan really well for some opponents, but when the big games come up, we lose. We have all this talent. We have guys, Jason Witten, all-time tight end. Des Bryant and all everybody's gonna remember him as a receiver. You had Tony Romo. You had everything you needed to win, and you just didn't get it done. But you're telling me about like how far it went. Mike McCarthy's been here what? 2 years? 3 years? Two, three years?
I thought it was his third.
Yeah, it's his
third.
I look what you're talking.
So forget, but it's third. But in his third year, if you look up both of it, I believe he's done better. It looks better, and it's just he didn't start with a guy. He didn't start with a Tony Romo. I mean, Dak was there, but Dak was nowhere when he started with this like Tony Romo. Tony Romo was lighting it up. I'm a Tony Romo guy, but I just think if they married. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I thought you were done with. Go. I'm sorry.
That was just my point. I was just trying to make the point of that's why I think they mirror each other, the situation, the talent, everything. Because at that time, the Cowboys could beat anybody, but they just weren't. You know what I'm saying? Like they were in the same position as y'all. Y'all shouldn't be. Y'all would agree with me. You
should not be 7-7. Isn't it 7-7?
8-6.
Y'all shouldn't be 8-6. Y'all should be 11-12 win team. Like, y'all should be that.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I want Sean McDermott fired. What I'm saying is I would be completely okay with a new voice in Western New York. But at the same time, this is what I said earlier, and I said it on a different pod. I'm perfectly like, look, the Bills are, like I just said, getting hot at the right time. I feel like later in the season, after a bye week late that we normally don't get. The Bills normally, we get a bye week in that first 7 weeks, 8 weeks of the season normally, which I think when you have an older roster plays into it. I think that extra week towards the end kind of get refreshed. I think the article plays into things. I think guys are rallying around Sean McDermott right now. All the guys that's been here as a foundational part of the team, they think about how Sean McDermott has treated them in personal moments because he's loved them as more than players. So look, the team is all in on McDermott. Right now, I am not pounding the table to fire Sean McDermott. I am not. What I'm saying is, at the end of this year, if we make the playoffs and things don't work, who else? We can't blame another coordinator. And we have to be realistic. At some point, you can't keep saying we want to be championship caliber when you keep doing the same thing. We make it to the same place, and then we come back and say, well, we'll upgrade here. And then at some point, we got to win one, man. Like, you can't. Bill Belichick has been there for however many years because he kept winning. I think the only other guy that is still surprising to me, but they just don't fire people, is the Steelers. They don't fire people. But yeah, He got his one. Mm-hmm. But at some point, as a fan base, and they are tired of Mike Tomlin. The fan base.
The fan base don't make the decision. I'm talking about the organization. And so, like, there's not much. And Mike Tomlin's different. They don't really get to that place every year since Ben, but there's not much further to go up for the Bills. I mean, there's two more games to win, or one more game to win, or three more games to win. It's not like much further you can go up. And I do think a part of the blame is on the players. The players have to play well in these games, and they have to produce, and part of the blame is on the coaches. Sean McDermott is 21-5 in the last three seasons in December and January. And three of those five losses were in the playoffs. And one of them was the Buccaneers game against Brady where we came back. And so, like, it's really hard for me to say somebody that closes December and January like he does needs to be fired.
You know, I get it. So we're going to wrap this up. This has been a fantastic dialogue. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to plug your socials and any work you got going on. Russ, we'll start with you. Poe, and then Spence will end with you, and then we'll get up out of here.
You already know it's Sports Plug Russ. You can find me at Big 30 The Truth on all your social media platforms. SP Climb R3, whatever it is. Also look for Sports Plug Clothing Company. That is me, Sports Plug Clothing CO. You know what I'm saying? Live for more than dying.
JPO NA on Twitter, and Chop Up every Thursday.
Spence. CEO Go Spence.
Bills. Go Bills.
Yeah, we already know about Spence. But yeah, let's go on. You got the script. I got the flu. So we definitely getting up out of here. So, hey, Bill's going to beat them Chargers up this weekend. And we need the Cowboys to go ahead and take care of them Dolphins for you. But whatever you guys decide to do, man, make sure you spend it with your families. It's Christmas time. Be safe. Live in peace. And we up out of here.
I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eat and it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it.
Everything around my whole team, though. You ain't getting money, you literally never seen, though. Tell me where the cash at, I tell you where the stash at. I've been getting to it so long, been having flashbacks.